Good morning again, everyone. This is Seven Generations Radio. My name is Joe Gray, and I'm here with several guests. Cindy Kuntz, who started a petition to get a recovery center started in Martinsburg, and I understand there has been some recent success on that. Also with me is Emily Drury and Tim Payne of Turning Point. They are, as I understand it, recovering addicts, and they will be talking about their personal story and what they're doing with Turning Point. So we'll be discussing all aspects of heroin addiction, opioid addiction, and what we can do about it in terms of prevention and recovery. So, Cindy, I'd like each of you to say hello first. Just make sure that you're mic volume is okay. Cindy, you want to say hello?
Hello.
Try it again.
Hello.
Okay, I'm not getting
enough volume. Oh, there we go. Okay. Get real close to that mic.
Hello. Yeah.
Say again.
Hello.
Okay. All right. We can bring another chair in here if you like.
Would you like to? Oh, I'm fine.
You okay?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and Emily and Tim, you want to say say hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, good morning.
Okay, I don't know why I'm not getting a lot of volume out of these things. Okay, all right, Cindy, I want to start with you. Cindy, you started a petition, and I know you've been active on the Berkeley County Heroin Epidemic website.
Yes.
And Cindy, What's going on with your petition, and also then I'd like to hear your personal story and how you got involved in this whole subject.
We presented our petition to the Martinsburg City Council on May the 12th, and we still have to present it to the County Council, which will be probably in the next 2 weeks, and we have close to 1,000 signatures right now that we can verify, and then we have people who have the petition, you know, that are getting written signatures. So we're looking at possibly 1,200 signatures.
Okay, and what has been your reaction? You've been down to the city council. Now we're talking about a physical site and then also funding to operate a recovery center, is that right? Or is it funding just for the site itself?
We know that the site has been purchased by the Berkeley County Council, and there is like a fight back and forth, like you know, regarding the money, who's going to pay, and you know, I'm not certain about any, you know.
Okay. How about telling us about your personal story and how you got involved in this whole matter?
We have a 31-year-old son who has been battling heroin and opiate addiction now for the last 11 years. And I've come here today to tell you what it is like, you know, to have someone we care about so much addicted to this very powerful drug, but there's not enough time to tell our 11-year story. 4 weeks ago, we were ready to turn our back on our adult son due to emotions and stress this causes daily. We tried everything on our own. Even if we wanted to reach out to him, we have nowhere. We don't even have any clue where he is right now. He's somewhere in the county, but we don't know where he is. He could be standing right here in the room wanting help, and there's no beds available for him. We know we've been there many times before. We also spent time with our grandkids 4 weeks ago, ages 9 and 11. Those two boys have dealt with their parents' addiction to heroin and opiates their entire lives. They are two, imagine the rest. And all the other children just like them are the future of Martinsburg. That day, however, we spent listening to them cry and beg and plead, "Please save our daddy. We are afraid he will go to jail for doing bad things, but they are more scared that he will die. They only want their daddy to get better and to live. So it is because of them that our fight with this grew stronger for this treatment center right here in Martinsburg. We don't have any options now of turning our back. Because should something happen to their dad, we will forever have to live with them telling us, but you did nothing. We know for them that we have to do everything in our power now to try. And if something does happen to their dad, we will know. And they will know that we did everything. We tried our best. Those two boys cries out to us, and their begging and their pleading still haunt me in my sleep at night. Yet here we are today, no closer to a treatment center in Martinsburg, to help with our own local people in this epidemic. Why is it that only us on this side of the epidemic see the need for the treatment center? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you take a break? I'm sure it's very hard for you to talk about this. Emily and
Tim,
sorry. Would you please tell your stories and what you're currently doing?
Sure. I guess I'll start with my story first before I met Emily. My opiate addiction started with a chronic pain issue with kidney stones, and I at 15 years old, and by the time I was 17 to 18 years old, I found myself addicted to the pain pills. After a while of buying pain pills on the street, I found heroin, which was a lot cheaper and easier to get. I've battled with opiate and heroin and or heroin addiction for 25 years. When I met Emily approximately 2 years ago, we actually met, and we didn't know each other used opiates. And it was a couple months before we actually told each other that we were addicted to opiates. And by that time, we had already had strong feelings for each other. And then the addiction on top of it was surely, you know, what we thought was going to be a disastrous mix. But somehow we found ourselves in a camper that wasn't set up. It had no heat, no electricity, no running water. We had no food. We were starving to death, but we found a way to get our drug every day. One morning after we shared a can of unsweetened applesauce and a really outdated can of chicken noodle soup, we decided that we had had enough and we were tired of living with the addiction. So we hopped on my motorcycle. It was November 11th. I believe it was 28 degrees out at 4:30 in the morning when we got on the motorcycle and we rode to an MAT facility, which is a medically assisted treatment facility. We'd had enough. And from that day on, we've been clean. A big milestone for us, and it's not easy. It's hard, even even with going to a medically assisted treatment program, you still have the same same demons and triggers as any other program that you'd go to.
How long did the treatment program run?
I actually stayed there for a year and 3 months. I got to my maintenance dose at 120 milligrams, and it took me about 8 months to get there. And then I put myself on medically supervised withdrawal, where I could go down in increments. Well, it wasn't happening fast enough for me because I had, that was part of my treatment plan that I'd set forth for myself. So I put myself against medical advisement on a 21-day rapid detox to rid myself of everything so that I could, be drug-free completely.
When you say a maintenance level, maintenance level of what?
Of methadone, and or it could be Suboxone or Subutex, and these are drugs that replace the opiates for, you know, they trick the opiate receptors in your brain to think that you're actually using heroin when you're not. There's also these drugs that have the blockers in them that actually block the opiates themselves. But the methadone that I was on, they take you to a level where your body feels just the same as it did without being high when you were using, so that so that you can learn to function without actually having the heroin. And then once you get to that point and learn to cope and go about day-to-day life without chasing the drug, then you slowly step down off of it and wean yourself off of it, because the physical addiction to heroin is tremendous. You know, if you quit cold turkey, there's a really good chance that, you know, your body could just give up and you could die. Respiratory failure, heart attack, it's, you know, it's real and it can happen, you know.
So you must have had people supporting you to be able to, did it cost you a lot of money this year of treatment?
Actually, the programs that they have set up in Hagerstown, I would really like to see them set them up in West Virginia. You go there and you don't pay any upfront fees. You pay for your dose of that day. And unlike the dose and go at Martinsburg, the Martinsburg Institute, which they don't have any, no groups, no counseling, no nothing. Unlike that facility, Hagerstown doesn't charge you for the days that you don't go. So if you can't afford to pay for your dose that day, they're not going to charge you for it.
So was this a residency situation, or did you come and go from there just to get your maintenance treatment?
It's an outpatient facility. It's you just go there, get your dose, your medicine, and then there's also groups every day. There's five groups a day at various times, and that's all addicts, and then there's one counselor in the group, and most of the counselors down there are recovering addicts themselves as well. It's a really good program they have going on down there. You also have a one-on-one at least once a month, more if you ask for it. It works. You know, you build yourself up to being able to take your medication home. The more groups that you go to, the more compliant that you are with the drug tests, because you have to take drug tests too to make sure that you don't have, you know, other drugs in your system and that you do have the maintenance drug in your system. So,
okay, Emily, you want to tell a little bit about your story? And I'm interested in, I guess maybe in both of your cases, it was a matter of reaching what you might say bottom. To a point where you just couldn't tolerate it anymore and you knew you had to make a change. But then the recovery process, what keeps you together on the recovery process?
Well, I mean, my story, it actually started, I got into a really bad car accident and I was prescribed a lot of pain pills. Believe it or not, I actually didn't take any of my prescribed pain pills because I didn't want to gain a physical dependency on them like I had seen many of my family members and friends do. And after that, I got into the mindset, you know, life is too short. I want to experience all these different things. And I just so happened to receive a settlement from an insurance company for that car accident. And I received over $100,000, which all of that's gone now, which was a result of my addiction. I got introduced into heroin after trying pain pills and cocaine and LSD and all these things. And I was 18 years old. I had all this money. I lived on my own. And then all of a sudden it was gone. And, I mean, I went to a detox, and that didn't work for me. I tried medically assisted treatment programs a couple different times, and I wasn't I wasn't ready for it. It took me hitting rock bottom for it to actually make a difference, for me to be ready for it. And everybody's different. I mean, some people, they don't have to get to that low point before they decide to change. But for me, that's what it took.
And as far as support that, you know, you'd asked about, we support each other in this. We found that when it comes right down to it, you personally yourself have to be your biggest support. And then we can check each other. It doesn't work for a lot of people. Couples being addicted and going into rehab, we're a rare case, not going to lie. Usually when couples are addicted together, they use together, they can't get clean together or stay clean together. If I honestly believe that if we had met in the beginning and used together before we actually found a connection besides that, then we wouldn't be where we're at today. Turning point is another thing that
motivates
us and keeps us grounded in our recovery, helping other addicts, spreading the word, stopping the stigmatism, trying to change Martinsburg as a whole is really boosting our recovery. One driving force that pushed us to start this program wasn't just our addictions. October 11th of last year, my brother had schizophrenia, a couple other mental health issues, and he was using pain pills and drinking alcohol. And benzos together. And October 11th at 2 o'clock, I found my brother deceased in our home, and of an overdose. And that is what has pushed us to make a change. Because honestly, I've lost a lot of friends, and it really hit home when I lost a family member, especially my brother. We were together every day. And I felt like I was his protector, even though he was my big brother. So from that point on, we decided that we weren't going to lose anybody else. And we were, even if money was coming out of our own pocket, it took up all of our time. We were going to do what we could. If Martinsburg and the city council and Berkeley County and the people that run it don't want to do anything about it, then we will, and we have. We've helped, I think we've helped over 60 people in the small amount of time that we've been together and had this organization going. And it's just volunteer, We've got them into treatment facilities, detoxes, outpatient, inpatient, you name it. We find beds. We've made personal relationships with these rehabs and detoxes. They know us by our phone number, by our voice, they know us by name when we call. We actually get preferential treatment at some of them now. We get put to the top of the list when we call. So,
what can you say to Cindy, who has a son out there that she cannot find? Cindy, I know you've worked very hard to locate your son, and how long has he been missing now?
Since January. Yeah, we haven't seen him like eye to eye since January. Mm-hmm. And we had an argument in April. And since then, I know he has two warrants on him, but even the police can't find him. We were attempting to do a mental hygiene on him the day before Mother's Day, and even they cannot find him. So, of course, they can't, proceed further with that. But, this epidemic is so big in Berkeley County. Berkeley County has the highest number of overdose and overdose with death. And heroin doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate color, gender, who's rich, who lives in the trailer park, religion. There is no discrimination for this drug. And if we do nothing now, I don't know what the future of Berkeley County is going to be with these children who are being raised in these homes with, you know, the drug addicted.
Let me ask you about, and Cindy, I could start with you. What advice do you give to children and to parents to avoid falling into this trap?
Honestly, I actually don't have those answers. If I had all the magic answers, you know, I wouldn't be standing here today. No. I just know that there are too many people who have lost someone already to this epidemic. The numbers, you know, for this treatment center, the growing number of heroin and opiate addiction every day. And, you know, it's in the schools, it's in the parks, it's in the, you know, it's everywhere around us. The crimes associated, you know, even those who might try it for the first time today. And then, of course, you know, the number of babies that's being born to heroin-addicted mothers. Those numbers are growing. And if we don't do something today, you know, yesterday was too late. We have to today.
You know, I believe it's all about awareness. That's how we're going to battle our, you know, the children. Awareness, stop the stigma, you know, educate the children.
Yeah,
you know.
We need to go in the schools. We need to show them, like, the dangers of addiction, the real dangers. I mean, they need to see the scary sides of it, all of it.
Yeah, stop saying it's not going to happen to my family. You know, we go to church. We, you know, we make $80,000 a year. Each, and, you know, our children have, you know, aren't
extracurricular activities, yeah, and that type of stuff.
Well, it's on your football field. It's in your locker room. You know, it's in your church, whether you believe it or not. This stuff isn't going away, and just because you think that you can sweep it under the rug or not talk about it and, you know, it won't be there, it's here, and it's not going anywhere. So it's time everybody stands up and holds hands. And let's clean this place up. That's the only way it's going to happen, is if we get together and clean it up. It's not going to go away just by dismissing it and not talking about it.
Do you think the most important vehicle would be through the schools? Or how would you approach and reach parents and kids?
Not just the schools, but we need community centers where the children can relate to somebody besides their teachers and their parents, because honestly, on that level of awareness and education, parents and teachers, the kids aren't going to take that. They're not going to be as receptive to that as they would somebody that's, say, teaching them how to box or teaching them how to swim or anything. You know, if they're involved in community activities, they're going to listen to their community counselor or, you know, their big brother, big sister, what have you. You know, that's probably going to be the best vehicle, honestly.
I kind of feel like, you know, nurses in emergency rooms and first responders and people who have suffered from addiction or are recovering from addiction, they need to actually be in front of these kids.
Sure.
So that they can experience rather directly from people that have been involved. So anyway, I guess we got a long way to go on this.
Yeah.
It's pretty apparent. I thank you all for coming in here. I know it's been difficult for you to talk about this, but I think it's a service that we need to continue to bring before the public until, like you say, the stigma is gone and we can talk about this openly and address it in real terms. Thank you all very much for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.